Welcome to the More Life Church podcast. We are always encouraged to know that God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know and send us an email to amen@morelifechurch.com. Now enjoy today's message.
Today is part two of Ancient Secrets, and we're going to look at some things hidden inside of Psalm 23. But before we do that, we did this together last week. I want to invite us all together to read together Psalm 23, just six short verses. So I would like to invite you all to read this together with me. So let's start this way. If you're ready, let's read. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Somebody give me one amen. So I want to dig into this, but before we do, I want you to have a foundation so you know exactly where I'm coming from. If you don't know where I'm coming from, you might have a little kind of self-conflict. And so if you're taking notes, I'm going to invite you to write these things down. If you're watching online, I'm going to invite you to share and follow along. And when you all get home, if you're on social media, please share this. Please share today's message. I think it's going to be really helpful to you and those that are in your circle. But you got to know where I'm starting. And here's the starting point for me is this, the belief that I can know God better. Now, that might sound obvious to you, but here's the danger of looking at any passage of Scripture that you're familiar with. You get lost in your familiarity. You've had it memorized since you were a young person, perhaps, the 23rd Psalm. You've heard messages after message after message over it. But here's the danger. The danger is believing that you have exhausted all of the truth, all of the life, and all of the freedom in that verse of Scripture. But here's what I need you to know. You and I, we can know God better today than we knew him yesterday. And we can know him better tomorrow than we did today. And he can use this very familiar passage to help all of us grow closer to him. How many want to be closer to God than you are today? I do. That's about half of us. All right, I'll get the rest of you with me here in just a second. So of this, you got to write this down and you got to believe this. I can know God better. Turn to your neighbor and say this. Say it like you mean it, okay? Find someone and say, I can know God better. Go ahead and tell them. I can know God better. Turn to somebody else and say, they really need to. They really need to. I can know him better. And here's where this belief comes from. It comes from a prayer that Paul the Apostle prayed. How many of you believe that God heard and answered the Apostle Paul's prayers? How many think he knew what he was doing when he was praying? Like black belt ninja prayer, right? Like, he knew how to pray, and this is what he prays, not only for the church at Ephesus, but for the church in Newark. For the believer, not only in Ephesus, but the believer here at More Life Church. And this is the prayer I just borrow from Paul that I pray most over your life. And here's what it says in Ephesians chapter 1, a part of that prayer. Paul says this, I keep asking. So he didn't just do it once. So this is a prayer you can pray over your own life, over your family's life, over and over and over and over again. You can repeat it. He says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, that he may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. For what reason, Paul? So that you may know him better. That is God's desire for your life and for my life, that we know him better, that every day we know him better. So you got to know that I'm coming from a place of passion, that wants you to know God better. Like, I pray for you. I cry over you. I rejoice over your life, that the thought of I'm getting to know God better. Look at this. I want to read you a praise report that we got that's connected with this. A couple of them. I got several praise reports here. And this one says, thank you for your prayers. God is making good changes in our lives. Every day, my spouse and I are growing closer together once again. How many think that's a miracle? That's awesome. You know, for spouses who are far apart, that we can pray and they can know God better and they can come together. Look at this one. This one is a result of us praying, and it says this: my father was homeless, but he's no longer homeless. Come on, somebody. That's an incredible thing that God has done. This one's amazing to me. It's simple, but it's so amazing. Here's what it says: I'm praising Jesus for working inside of me, helping me grow and following the path that He has designed for me. That's an incredible prayer that's answered, that we can walk the path that God's designed for us to walk in. This one's awesome. I love this one. It says this: God is putting amazing people in my life. I have struggled in the past with making friends, and God is really helping me get out of my shell. Dude, that's awesome. If you're a person who doesn't make friends, you want to give them some praise. You can do better than that. Come on. This is all a result of us praying together, praying for one another, and saying, God, help us know you better. So you got to know that I'm passionate about that. I'm going to be over the top excited today about the prospect that somebody in this building, somebody watching online, you're going to leave out of here today and you're going to know God better today than you did yesterday. And I believe that with all of my heart, that the Word of God and the Spirit of God is going to produce that in somebody's life. The second thing, you got to know where I'm coming from before we get into this 23rd Psalm. It's a little wordy, but it's important. That the true source of life is found in the goodness of the shepherd, not in the goodness of the sheep. That is good, thank you. I'm gonna show you why here in a minute, all right? Because as we get into this, we're gonna talk about four reasons why you can't rest. Four reasons from the 23rd Psalm why you can't rest, and what God's solution is. But if you're not careful, here's what you'll come to the point of believing: that you're the source of life and freedom and better days. The source of life is not found in you being good and you behaving, although that's awesome when you do, but that does not produce in your life freedom and progress in Christ. True source of this comes from the goodness of the shepherd, not our own goodness. Look at these verses of scripture from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So simple, we stumble over its simplicity. The reason we come to a place where we do not want is because we've accepted Him as our source, as our guide, as our leader, as our shepherd. And anytime you put yourself in that place, you end up wanting, because let me tell you something, without Him, you're not enough. You'll be bogged down and weighted down. The Lord's my shepherd, so I don't want. Look at this verse. Jesus says this. So don't take my word, take His word. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Notice that the shepherd is the one who does this, not the sheep. The shepherd is the one who does for us. In 2013, the day after I nearly died, which is not an exaggeration, was actually my life experience, had a serious heart attack. Every heart attack is serious when it happens to you. 99% blockage in my LAD, the Widowmaker, the left anterior descending artery, was moments away from dying. And the day after that near-death moment. The day after I almost died, I found myself in the hospital room with no people around. And it was just God and I. And this verse kind of came alive to me. And respectfully, I offered a prayer to God. And here's what I said to God. I said, God, you sent your son to die for the church. I'm not going to. I'm not going to. And I commenced to get help around me and began to realize it wasn't all up to me. And I came to this realization. I'm better off to y'all if I'm alive rather than dead. I expected an amen and not a laugh, so we're going to try that again. I said that I'm better off to you alive and not dead. I'm not feeling the love like I need to feel the love this morning. I'm going to tell you that right now, okay? But here's what you need to see, and so are you. You're better off to those that are around you alive, being here. And what had happened in my life is I had literally taken on worries and cares and concerns. And I don't know if it's scientifically correct or not, but the mental image I have is stuff actually got into my literal physical heart and clogged it all up with junk that I was carrying and stresses and worries that weren't meant for me. They were meant for him. And it was like a self-induced issue because I thought the progress of my life depended on the goodness of Josh, when in fact, it doesn't depend on the goodness of Josh, it depends on the goodness of God. And the same is true for you. Don't miss it because I put myself into the story. It's your story too, that your life is based on the goodness of God, not the goodness of you. That's good. Look at this verse in Ephesians 2. For by grace are you saved through faith. Watch. And not of yourselves. Say out loud, say, it's not about me. Not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works. It's not about what I do or you do, lest any man or woman should boast. So you got to get this clear. I can know God better. And the true source of life is the goodness. It's found in the goodness of the shepherd, not in the goodness of me. So with that in mind, let me show you just one simple key verse from Psalm 23 that I'm going to dissect for you in the next couple minutes. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. The subject of the sentence is he the good shepherd? Is he God? He's the one that is ultimately responsible for us finding a place of rest. But there are often things going on in our hearts and our minds and in our souls that keep us from getting to this place of rest. And what we're going to look at is four agricultural reasons why sheep don't rest, why they won't lie down. They physically won't do this in the agricultural world unless there are four conditions that are met. They physically cannot come to a place where they lie down physically. But let me show you some stats about adults and students in the United States that have to do with restlessness, sleeplessness, and stress. According to the National Institute of Health, there are at least 70 million U.S. adults who have been diagnosed with some form of sleep disorder. 70 million. According to a Harvard Medical School research survey, it found this, that insomnia or sleeplessness was responsible for 274,000 annual workplace accidents and errors, costing those companies over $30 billion. In students, let's look at students. Young people need our help. The young people and the next generation need the generation ahead of them to support them and help them. We need to come alongside of them. Sleep deprivation observed in students goes like this. 59.7% of ninth graders are sleep deprived. 67.4% of 10th graders are deprived of sleep. 73.3% of 11th graders are experiencing this issue. Does anybody see a trend? Seniors in high school are experiencing 76.6%, nearly 77% of 12th graders are experiencing sleep deprivation. Not at their best, causing things to go on. And can I just submit something to you? It's not just because they're awake on a device. And if they are awake on a device, there's a reason. There's something going on that they're trying to feed themselves with. That's an issue that's going unresolved. Adults do that too, so we shouldn't just blame one age category of people. Now, to stress, this, according to Gallup, 79% of Americans say they frequently experience or encounter stress in their daily lives. 79%. 17% say they rarely feel stressed, and 4% lied and said they never feel stress. They never feel stressed. Like that there's no way they either lied or they did not understand the question. How are you all with me on that? Like, so that's an issue. And according to Pew Research, this is the last stat I'm gonna give you, and I'm gonna move forward. According to 2015 Pew Research, as written about in the New York Times, the Pew Research Institute used three words to paint the picture of the modern family in America: stressed, tired, and rushed. Stressed, tired, and rushed. Some of you all felt that this morning. You were tired, and you were rushed to get here, and you felt stress about it. And the ones who didn't watched online. And the concerns and the stress revolved around two main areas: fear about money and fear about the family's well-being. So with all that in your mind, let's look at this together. Four reasons why you won't rest, as paralleled by the four reasons sheep won't rest. A sheep will not lie down. Sheep will not lie down unless they are free from hunger. If they're hungry, they won't lie down. The Bible talks about this, and you got to understand it from not a Western civilization, but from the place in which it's written. And he says this: he makes me to lie down in green pastures. Everybody grab something in your mind about a green pasture. Just imagine. Let's daydream together. Can we go on a daydream together? Like, think of a green pasture. If you're anything like me and I see those two words, green pasture, here's what pops into my mind. A green, mainly green meadow with some white or yellow flowers kind of extending above the tops of the greenery. It's maybe somewhere in like Kansas or Montana or somewhere in Iowa, someplace where it's, or maybe even in Ohio, some rolling green hills that are about to come on us in the springtime, where it's just green for miles. Anybody see that kind of similar picture? But you have to remember this. This is written in the Middle East. Desert. If you're to look at a picture overhead of Israel, you don't see a lot of green, y'all. It's mostly brown, arid, dry vegetation. And so the work of the shepherd was very difficult to find the extremely rare green pastures. And until he met this condition, he had to continue to lead them until he found this spot. But Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 34 paints an incredible picture. And here's what he says. He makes you a promise. He makes us a promise. He says, I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold. So he connects the feeding with the lying down. And in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, says the Lord God. Here's what you can take away. He, as the shepherd, the good shepherd, is the source of everything that you and I need. And it's his assignment to take good care of us and make sure that we are fed. This is why he says in the New Testament, Paul says, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. This is why the Bible says that you will always have all sufficiency in all things, and you'll always abound to every good work, because the good shepherd always does his job, and he always takes care of the sheep. He always takes care of us. He's never let a person down, and he's not fixing to start with you.
Right? Amen.
Right? So he makes his promise. He's going to take care of you. Because remember, it's his responsibility that you lie down. And so therefore, he assumes the responsibilities of all of the components that are necessary for you to achieve that state. And here's what I hope is going on in your hearts and in your lives right now. That some of the self-imposed pressure is lifting off of your life as you begin to get a glimpse into what is God's part and what is your part. Your part is to believe. His part is to provide. Can I just tell you? You got the easy part. I got the easy part. Look at condition number two. Sheep won't lie down unless they are free from pests. Now, I myself am not a farm guy. You might be able to tell. I have to rely on what other people tell me about agricultural things. But here's what I have found about sheep, especially in a certain season in the summer, that sheep can absolutely be driven mad by nasal flies, bot flies. I don't even know what that is. It just sounds gross. Nasal flies, bot flies, warble flies, and ticks that will embed themselves in their nasal passage and creep up into their skull to the point where they are just restless. They stomp their feet, they shake their head, trying to dispel this pain and this pressure that's going on. They just absolutely wig out. I've seen my kids do this sometimes. They just kind of like just trip out, you know what I mean? Like you just, maybe something crawled up in their head and they just freak out. And sheep won't lie. Sheep won't lie down. You just got a mental picture. That's awesome. Let's have some fun, y'all. Church is supposed to be enjoyed, not endured. All right? Right. Your kids trip out too, don't they? Or is it just mine? Let's flip out. I'm gonna. So free from pests. So here's the picture for us. Hopefully, you don't have any bugs crawling up in your nose. But stuff does enter our head. Thoughts, ideas, suggestions that torment us. Those thoughts that you don't want to be thinking when you lay down to go to sleep at night. You physically lie down, but emotionally you're still standing. And you're running through in your mind the bill you forgot to pay, or the late fee that was incurred, or you forgot to get the mail, or you didn't get gas. Whatever's going on, like those thoughts that run wild in your brain that are just maybe normal everyday things, but they pester you. And you won't rest until they're resolved. Look at this verse of scripture from Psalm 23:5. You, God, prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. The table is set and all the pests are all around. How do you resolve that, my good shepherd? Here's how he does it. You anoint my head with oil, and then my cup runs over. The shepherd would literally use an oil as an ointment to pour as a insecticide, pesticide prevention on the sheep's head to keep it healthy and strong, to keep it going in the right direction. And look at this verse in Ezekiel chapter 34. Look what the shepherd says he will do. I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away and will bind up that which was broken and will strengthen that which was sick. Look what the good shepherd does. He seeks out for us. He binds up those wounds and he strengthens us every time we have need. That's his job because he's good.
Amen.
Right? Like that's what he does. Look at the rest of the verse. But I will destroy the fat and the strong and will feed them with judgment. Now that's intense. And it plays into the third component that's necessary for the sheep to lie down. And that is this. Sheep won't lie down unless, thirdly, they are free from friction within the flock. The shepherd delivers his sheep of the tension, rivalry, and competition that arises within the flock. In almost every animal society, there is an order of dominance that gets set up. So in chickens, it's called the pecking order. In cattle, it's called the horning order. And among sheep, it's called the butting order. And here's what generally happens. Now we need to take a breath because you might take this personally. And this is not my idea. These are not my words. I'm stealing them from someone else, okay? So turn to your neighbor and say, this isn't Josh's fault, what's about to happen, okay? Just go. Here's what generally will happen amongst sheep. Generally, an arrogant, cunning, and domineering old ewe, which is a female sheep, will become the boss of a whole bunch of sheep. I did not invite that applause, ladies and gentlemen. I just need to go on record and say that. I did not ask anybody to applaud at that point, but I'm grateful that they did. It was awesome. So here's, you're already seeing the picture. And the way she maintains her position of prestige is by butting or driving other ewes and lambs away from her territory and away from the best grazing areas. And in this, she gets the exact position in the flock by using these butting, thrusting, aggressive tactics. Let me take that into church world for you. I've watched this. It's very dangerous, and it's how friction within the flock works, and it causes unrest amongst all of us. And that's when anyone, male or female, old or young, gets territorial, gets protective, gets an attitude of arrogance, forgets that we're here for God and people, not ourselves. And we begin to protect our row and our section and our seat. And somebody shows up that day that we haven't met yet and they butt us out of our seat unknowingly. And we let them know that we're not happy that they took our seat, not by our words, but by our demeanor and by our actions. And it's not just about seats and rows and sections. It's about having an internal posture that says, this is my church and I like it the way it is. And the problem with that is it's not your church. It's the church of God and he doesn't like it just exactly the way it is. He's trying to reach all his kids because there's a whole bunch of kids, black sheep maybe, that haven't made their way home yet. And so he takes this really personally and he paints a vivid picture of it in Ezekiel chapter 34 and he gets aggressive and he says this. He says, because you have thrust, get that in your mind, that picture of the sheep. Because you have thrust with your side and shoulder, you've pushed all the diseased with your horns. That person that came in and sat next to you and they're messed up and they've got issues in their family and they got stuff going on in their heart and they've got challenges and they've got addictions and they've got stuff like that, and you turn a cold shoulder to them. God does not appreciate that. It causes friction in the flock and it shouldn't be tolerated by any of us. Right? Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna go further, okay? Because some of y'all can get a patty cake, but you're going to be the very ones that do it the next time something happens. Somebody say, oh, me, because you can't say, oh, amen. Come on. Right? Like I'm serious about this because I'm passionate. To watch what happens. Till you have scattered them abroad. You did it. I did it. We did it with our attitude. Ooh, it gets heavy in here. Watch, there's an answer. Doesn't have to stay this way. Doesn't have to stay this way. Therefore, well, he says this, look what the shepherd says. I'm going to save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle. He says, you're not going to eat each other. You're not going to devour each other, because I'm going to come in, and I'm going to help, and I'm going to save, and I'm going to show, and I'm going to reveal, and I'm going to help you get your heart right. I'm going to help you get your attitude straight. I'm going to help you look at the right things. And what we need to be doing is having a good shepherd that always points us back to him to say, hey, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. You just get to be a delivery system. You just get to be a person who makes a difference. That's all I get to be, is someone who says, hey, don't look at me. Look at the one who sent me. Hey, don't look at me, because I can't do this in and of my own strength, but there's somebody greater than me that's delivered me out of a whole bunch of junk, and you need him in your life.
Yeah. Amen.
You all can do that.
Right.
I can do that. We can do that. Yeah. Come on, you want to give him praise. I know you do. Come on. Okay. So that's three. How many of you want number four? God bless you, baby. How many of y'all want number four? Nobody?
Yes.
Hey, I already done this twice. I can go home. You know, I don't make any difference to me. You want number? How many want number four? Okay. You talked me into it. Let's go. Sheep won't lie down unless they are, number four, free from all fears. Same thing's true for people. If you've got fear going on inside of you, if you've got anxiousness, if you've got worry and dread over what the next step is, you will not lie down. You will not experience the rest. It's generally known, y'all probably get this, sheep are some of the most timid of all of God's creatures. Something as small as a rabbit and as harmless as a rabbit can scatter an entire flock. Something that poses no threat to them whatsoever. Let alone if they get the scent of massive prey, like a wolf, a cougar, something that can take them out. I read of a situation where two wolves took out nearly 300 sheep in one night. At that point, the wolf isn't killing for food. They're just killing to kill. And so when you have that in your background, when you've had challenges in your life, when you've faced difficult scenarios, when you've had tragedy and heartache and danger, man, that stuff crops up on you. Like, what if it happens again? But those same sheep who will be scattered by a harmless rabbit are known to, almost every time, when they see the sheep man, the shepherd of their flock that they know, come into the fold, they immediately gather around him or her and they completely chill out and calm down. Like, all the fear leaves just from the presence of the shepherd. In Psalm 23, as I close, verse 4 says this, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why would I fear no evil? for you're with me. He's here with me. He's here with you. He's there with you. He's everywhere you go. What causes the fear to be dispelled? The presence of the shepherd. The presence of God. The presence of the owner and the master puts them and us at ease. I don't have to fear any evil because you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And all next week is about the rod and the staff. We're going to talk about that all week next week. Don't miss it. Next time we're together, that's what we're going to cover. And it's going to be brilliant. In the Christian's life, there's no substitute for the keen awareness that the shepherd is nearby. And when he is, and you come to that point where I can fear no evil because I know he's with me, it's founded on a few things, one of which I want to close with. It's founded on the truth that he will never leave you and he'll never forsake you. That's his promise. I don't have to fear any evil. Here's why. He'll always be with me. Good days, bad days. Goes well if it goes poorly. He's with me. He's with me. So, like, let me paint you the worst picture I can think of. Let's say the next couple days, the next couple weeks, everything goes wrong. Everything goes wrong. All the resources dry up. My family and I, we get kicked out of our house. We lose our house. We lose everything except for the 2000 Nissan Quest it's paid for, which Alex has affectionately nicknamed Big Juicy. So it's just the Penningtons and Big Juicy. Let's say it gets so bad, we've got no money, no house, and we got to end up living in a van down by the river, y'all. Like, it's bad. Nobody helps us. Nobody does anything. I starve to death in a long, painful process of starvation. How many think that's a bad few days? The worst it can get, I die. You know what happens as a result of that? I die. I slip out of this body. And I look over and I say, guess we done with that? Yeah. Guess that part's over. What do we do next? Let's go see Jesus. Yeah. Come on. Oh, I'm talking to a bunch of people who don't believe that heaven is real and hell is real, or else you'd have got fired up about that. That's the worst thing that happens to the believer, is that this life, this flesh dies and it ends, and you go over into the next thing, which is the real life. That's the worst thing that happens for the Christ follower. That's why the Christ follower can say, I'm going to fear no evil because you are with me here, there, everywhere. You are with me always, even to the end. Even to the end. And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes because I'm through. But if you don't know Jesus, right now is a chance for you to make the most important decision of your life. If you don't know him, you need to know. Heaven is real and hell is real. God doesn't want any of us to be separated from him. And so without anybody moving around, no distraction, just zero in right here, please. Give me just a minute. If you're watching online, hang in there with me. If you don't know Jesus, it'd be my honor to introduce you to him. If you don't know him, I want you to know him today. You say, Josh, I do know him. But I haven't been walking with him like I should. He hasn't been the center of my life. I need to come back home. I'm not talking about the church you attend. I'm talking about your relationship with the creator of heaven and earth. say, I don't have a relationship with him, or it's not what it ought to be, on either one of those things, I'm not going to ask you to stand to your feet or come down front. But if you want to respond with a yes, I need to know him. I want to know him better. I want to put him as first place in my life. If that's you, right now, heads are bowed and eyes are closed, just slip up a hand and say, yeah, Josh, that's me. I need to put my confidence in him. Thank you, brother. I see you. Anybody else say, yeah, that's me. Thank you, ma'am. I see you. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I see you, young lady. I see you, young lady. Yes, sir. I see you, young man. Good for you. Anybody else join these who said yes real quick? Just put your hand right up. I see you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else before we move forward? Say, that's me. That's amazing. Good for you, buddy. Good for you, sir. Do this with me, everybody in the house. Say it from your heart with these who are maybe praying it for the very first time. Repeat after me and say this. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your son. Thank you that he died for me. Thank you that he was raised from the dead. I believe in my heart and I say with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. I turn from my sin and I turn to your son, and I will follow him all the days of my life. In his name I pray. Amen. Y'all put your hands together. Celebrate with those who made a decision.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that you have been blessed through the teaching of God's Word. This resource is generously supported by More Life Church and listeners like you. We would like to give you the opportunity to partner with us to impact the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. To give or to learn more about More Life Church, visit our website at morelifechurch.com.